Hey, what's going on? What's happening, Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today, I'd like to talk about the behavior that we call yawning. Of course, yawning is just a general description of the behavior and has nothing really to do with any type of yawn. By the way, do you know that when you yawn, you don't really get much more oxygen? Wasn't that the initial idea that that's the reason why we yawn? So newer research showed that this is not actually the case. So, well, let's see what they come up with next, what yawn truly is. But when it comes to sharks, we use the term yawn just to see it in a similar way. The shark opens its mouth rather slowly and averts its upper jaw at the same time. This is so-called maintenance behavior, where the shark behaves in a certain way to restore functionality or anything else that helps the shark during its daily life. The cause for this behavior is most likely the non-correct repositioning of its upper jaw. How come that an upper jaw can get sort of mispositioned? Well, consider a shark biting into a carcass and starts to gouge. Gouging is the process where a shark bites with both jaws into a larger object to remove a piece. This is the act where a shark normally starts shaking its head back and forth to saw a piece out of it. When a shark does that, its upper jaw is first everted to get a better grip. Mind you, the upper jaw is not grown or attached to the brain capsule, but only connected through tendons and ligaments. A tendon or sinew is normally a rather tough band of fibrous connective tissue that connects muscle with, in our case, cartilage. In us humans, most of the time, it will be bone. A ligament, on the other hand, connects, in our case again, cartilage with cartilage and consists of also a fibrous connective tissue. Between the two, the tendon is the one that can be stretched. So both tendon and ligaments are extended to their max when the jaw is averted, and then needs to be retracted so that the upper jaw can be pulled back under the brain capsule. And it's this retraction, when the tendons and ligaments are not folded back correctly again, what causes the shark to simulate a biting act, to increase the likelihood that these elements are folded correctly again. And guess what? The shark can get ready for the next actual bite. In rare cases, I found that the first attempt is not successful and the shark has to try it again. So he yawns again. The interesting part is that the shark then changes its speed. It's like, okay, he tried in one speed, it failed, so he changed the speed. Maybe that helps to reposition the tendons and ligaments. During the first attempt, the duration is normally around 10 times the regular time span a shark needs during a biting act, which is about between 0.4 and 0.5 seconds. I remember back when yawning was first noticed, it was considered a threat display. Of course, right? Everything that the shark did that didn't look normal was considered something negative. Whatever sharks did that could not be determined, and seriously, that's the case. That's why we still think sharks have a threat display, that lowering pectoral fins is a threat, and on, we talked about that. It was always put into the same category. That's rather pathetic, right? People just did not, scientists just did not go into water and study these things. Anyway, if you are interested in the paper I wrote, just drop me a line through the website, and I'm going to send it to you. But there's something incredible about the whole biting act. I'm sure some of you have seen where a white shark does it and the upper jaw comes down like a guillotine. You know, the French instrument during the French Revolution to decapitate people. That's exactly the way it looks. So there are two ideas why this mechanism has been invented in the first place. One is to increase the speed of closing the mouth, or better said, the two jaws. The second idea revolves around the issue that the upper jaw consists of two halves that are only connected through connective tissue in the middle, thus are rather flexible and so can better hold on to irregular surfaces. If you ever see a dead shark and you really have the urge to get your hand into a mouse, just really grab the two halves of the upper jaw and you will see they are really, really easily to move around. I actually like both ideas. But there can only be one that triggers it. Of course, the second function is then a benefit. So I go with the second theory because gouging seems not really depending on a quick closing of the jaws, but to get a good grip on the tissue or the surface as such, so that the shark did bite into. Since the time I published this mechanism, I keep looking for all the different shark species that do that, and I have now seen it in quite a few species like tiger sharks, white sharks, bulls, blue sharks, but others, I could not once see it happening, for example, any of the hammerhead species. Despite that, I spent a lot of time among scalloped hammerheads, great hammerheads, or thresher sharks, the same thing. Of course, I've never seen it with nurse sharks and all the bottom-dwelling species. I'm not sure if they really yawn, since they mainly grab whatever they're eating and then try to crack the shells. You know, they have like snails and shells. But then again, maybe they do it too. Maybe you have only seen it. If so, please, really, please drop me a note through the email address on Let's Talk Shark. And let me know, I really would be interested in anything in this regard. There are some rumors that nurse sharks avert upper jaws as well. But again, I have not seen it. I know that I don't really think they do it, but hey, I would not be surprised. So the jaws of a shark that yawns is pretty flexible. But not just the actual jaw positions during the bite is flexible, but also the teeth angles. A tooth can easily break off since it does not sit in a bone and is, in this case, as with humans, but the teeth are attached to the top of the jaw through connective tissue. So when a shark opens its jaws and bites into something, the teeth actually move in their angles, they actually move around the jaws, and that is totally cool. So when a shark bites down, it has the perfect perpendicular 90 degree angle towards the structure, which really is necessary to then really saw or whatever it's used to do. The entire jaw and bite mechanism is one of nature's most incredible inventions. Can you imagine? I mean, a shark loses 30, 40,000 teeth in his life. Can you imagine how much growing there is in a shark's mouth? It's unbelievable. And it's baffling how nature comes up with all these optimizations. If we would have been asked to create something that how can a shark get so many teeth, is optimized in biting and quickly closing its jaw, whatever, I think no one would have had even a clue what nature could prepare. But you know what? Despite that this guillotine-like mechanism looks rather flimsy, the pressure a shark can put onto its jaws is quite amazing. So there's something else, you know. The jaws are very flexible. It's only cartilage, only connects to connective tissue. But still, the pressure is incredible. There's something else. The time we see a shark yawn. So what does that mean when a shark does such a behavior in our vicinity? It means that our presence did not affect or does not affect the sharks to the point that they would not undertake this maintenance behavior. Even more so, it always occurred in the interzone and most often rather close to the inner circle. Considering that during the yawning process, a shark is temporarily unable to bite tells us quite a bit. And I also believe that during this mechanism, a shark is rather focusing on itself to the point that it does not react to us, for example, getting closer. At least, I have never seen that. This could also imply, of course, that yawning is a rather stereotyped maintenance behavior, like an instinct-driven behavior without much wiggle room, meaning once it begins, a shark will always see it to the end. Nevertheless, I just mentioned that the shark sometimes have to yawn twice, and the second time is a different speed, so that, at least for the second bite, does not imply that it is instinct-driven. If you're interested in, again, in this behavior, drop me a note and I'll send you the publication. Overall, yawning is an incredible feature. And when I first saw it, it was, oh my god, that is so cool. So anyway, maybe you have a chance to see it on your own. If you ever join us and at one of our shark school, I guarantee this is what you're going to see quite often. And it is impressive when a tiger shark, fully grown tiger shark, swims towards you on a few meters in front of you, starts to yawn. Okay, that's it today. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, look for yawning, Enjoy the moment and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.